Jim Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. We get the chance to visit with Steve Soucy. He's been in the newspaper business for 30 years, so congratulations to him for that. He's with the Joliet Herald News now, and I know the last time I was together with Steve Soucy, we were with Edgy Tim, and it was the playoff pairings night, and I was thinking today, Steve, how much has changed since that date back in late October last year? Man, it's been crazy, hasn't it?
Yeah, my goodness. It's just been one of those things that you couldn't have imagined it if you had the best imagination in the history of the world.
Well, as we talk to you today on July 14th, tell us a little bit about your emotions and just your expectations heading toward August 10th, which is supposed to be the first official day of fall sports practices in Illinois. How you feeling?
Well, it's been kind of a wild pendulum. You get me one day and I feel pretty positive about it, and then the next day it seems like I've collected a bunch of information from, you know, everywhere that leads me to feel pretty negative about it. So I think we're all kind of in that waiting game. And if you look at my text message history, between a lot of people, you know, fans, coaches, coworkers, asking me what I think, and you know, everybody's kind of in that apprehensive mode. I guess kind of fearing the worst, but still kind of hoping for the best.
Yeah, and when you look back at this story and how it has evolved, as it relates purely to interscholastic athletics in Illinois, when you date back to mid-March of this year, when basketball got shut down, and then we were waiting to see what we're gonna have spring sports, that got shut down. And it's really hard to believe, or maybe it's not hard to believe, I don't know what the emotion is, that we're here in mid-July and we're still kind of in the same situation that we were back in mid-March, right? I mean, that's what's so strange about this story.
Well, you know, when this all started back, you know, during the pocket of the basketball postseason kind of getting abruptly canceled, I kind of thought to myself at the time, you know, I wasn't even thinking in the context of fall sports being, you know, in danger of not being played. My thought process was, well, maybe we got to let this ride out, and maybe we'll start spring sports a little bit late. I didn't really anticipate anything at the time that we would have spring sports completely wiped out. It's kind of escalated my thinking about everything now. You look at it like the way I was thinking back in March, and now I'm like, you know, when I get into the more bleak thoughts, I'm like, boy, when is this ever going to end? So it's really kind of been a change in my thought process and a lot of people's thought processes. I think a lot of people thought, you know, maybe we'd certainly be on track for everything to be normal by fall, and that's really in danger right now.
Yeah, and you even talk about, you use the word pendulum, and you even talk about a pendulum here this summer, right? I mean, you get excited with the initial return to play guidelines, right, where at least the kids can get together, do strength and conditioning and speed stuff, and then you get another bump where you move to the next phase, but then just shortly thereafter they roll that back a little bit, and you're wondering, well, can we legitimately proceed to August and think we're going to have something if we've already tried to take a step forward and we've taken a step back? You know,
well, last week was like a roller coaster ride for me, because I was just a schedule day for football is one of my favorite days, because I get to fill in all the blanks and start planning towards, you know, the upcoming months and all these other things. And that happened on Monday, and then Tuesday we turned around and we took a step back on the stage of play status. And then as the week went along, then we started talking about, maybe flipping seasons is the only thing we can do to save this. So we went from the high key moment for me on Monday, when I'm looking at all that information and getting excited about the upcoming season, to, you know, by the end of the week, we're talking about, well, this might have, Monday might have all been moot. We might be looking at something that may never even happen. So it was really kind of a wild ride last week in regards to where we started to where we finished.
Well, and I guess the other thing is not knowing you know, in terms of, you look to the return to play guidelines, and there's really no solid answer on when you can move forward, you know, after the restrictions were rolled back, the return to play guidelines were rolled back last week. You know, the question is asked, well, when can we get together and do some contact stuff with other schools? And
it makes it real difficult for everybody involved when you don't have a benchmark there to shoot for, like to try to get yourself to. That's what it's been all along with everyone. Even when we were in the early stages of this, everyone was so impatient with getting like the first stage things out, and they got held up by the Illinois Department of Health approval. You know, everybody was impatient because they wanted to get going, but they also wanted some sort of thing to say, hey, this is when we're going to get an idea of what we can do. So the whole thing has been a situation, and now we're doing it again, where we don't know exactly what's going to happen, and that just leads to a lot of people being really frazzled and upset because they don't, I mean, you know, football coaches and sports coaches in general, a lot of them thrive on having a regular regimen and a regular schedule to meet towards, and now all that is up in the air, and it just leads to a lot of insecurity and a lot of chaos for that part.
And I think the other issue too, the underlying current here is, you know, with these return to learn guidelines for just getting back in the classroom. I mean, there's just so many unanswered questions for those issues for local schools that I think have to be settled before you can even start thinking about interscholastic athletics. And there's so many questions about getting kids back in the classroom. And I think that's another huge issue on how interscholastic athletics are going to play out, if and when they're going to play out in the fall.
Yeah, and that's one of the things when I look at like what realistically might end up happening here. I find it almost impossible to believe that we're going to have a regular load of athletics being performed when a grand majority, if not all, of the schools are not in session. I have a hard time getting a handle on that. I mean, I don't know where we're going to go in regards to, you know, how much at-home learning is going to be done in schools this year, but I just have a hard time wrapping my head around. Schools aren't in session yet, but yet we're playing high school athletics in a somewhat regular nature. The two don't marry themselves one another very well. So that's where I come from on that topic.
Well, and then the other interesting thing for me here, you know, being for us a border state here in Western Illinois, and kind of following the baseball and softball seasons in Iowa, right? You know, they're playing baseball and softball in Iowa, but you're seeing these reports as we go along here. You know, these teams are testing positive. They're having kids test positive on their team, and then you see these seasons getting canceled. You know, so you're seeing that in Iowa, and that's not a good sign. And see, that's the one thing when you look forward to not only, you know, football, but volleyball or whatever sport, the administration of, okay, we're going to have a season, but then what happens when a kid tests positive? What happens to that team? What happens to that conference? What happens to that schedule? So, you know, I think a lot of people don't think about that when the final decision has to be made by the decision makers at the IHSA, that all that type of information has to come into play when you try to make those decisions, because lo and behold, that's going to happen. You know, if you have a high school season in Illinois, with the way the pandemic is, there are going to be kids from teams across the state that are going to test positive, and then you have to react to those type of situations.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that, I mean, we don't have a lot of clarity on because we haven't really had a lot of direct experience with it just as yet. I mean, I know there wasn't an instance of a case of COVID being indicated in Lake Zurich, and that led to the entire camp system being shut down. I don't know, like I said, in concerns of COVID, we are now in a situation where I look at it from especially our perspective of smaller programs at the football level in particular, where if you get a positive and that athlete has to be quarantined, well, what about the athletes that you've been working with on a daily basis? I mean, it's a contact sport. Are those athletes going to be quarantined? And you're talking about some of these programs that have rosters of 25 to 30 kids. If you've got 5 or 6 that are out, then, I mean, what happens to that team? What happens to their opponents? I mean, like you said, I mean, it's a whole, I guess it's a snowballing effect from, you know, what happens with these things. We don't know how those things are going to be approached. And it just makes the whole circumstance, you know, wondering what's going to happen when the positive comes. I don't think it's a situation of if the positive comes. I think it's a situation of when. I think we're trying to be overly optimistic if we think we're not going to get them, because they are going to happen.
Yeah, and this is me speaking right now, and this is only my opinion. I think the fall, and this is just my opinion, I think the fall high school sports season, I think, is a serious question mark right now. And I think the best bet is probably a delayed season. You know, I just don't see August 10th realistically happening. Or I think that you're going to, you know, they talked about possibly these shortened seasons, where if there's not a fall season, you're going to try and put 3 sports seasons basically together from like December to the end of the school year, and then trying to figure out what sports go where. But I think as it stands right now, I probably really think that, in my opinion, is probably the best case situation. That's just me speaking. What do you think right now?
Well, yeah, I kind of go with a little bit of both of what you're saying there. I think right now, I agree with you. I think the realistic approach right now of fall sports happening on that August 10th date, the practices beginning, and all, I really don't see that as extremely viable. I mean, I put that at less than 10% likely that that's the way that we go. I've said all along that I think maybe we're looking at a significantly shortened season with a different end date for fall sports as the first possibility. You know, maybe starting up, you know, football season in a condensed 6-week regular season, starting somewhere around the middle of September and finishing somewhere around the middle of December. And regarding the winter sports, backing those up until after the first of the year, trimming those down a little bit, and then basically trying to leave the spring sports the way that they generally usually are. I think that's one step. I've seen some of the proposals, including the one, I believe it was from the Roxanna principal, about kind of cramming them all into spring. At, you know, spring/summer, I believe one of them wrapped up, I believe it was the fall rotation wrapped up in the middle of summer. I didn't necessarily dislike that plan if that was the only option that we had, but I think it's going to be problematic in a lot of ways too. The flip off of the season, I mean, one of the X factors of that thing that I wonder about, even if they end up going that way, is, okay, let's say we play football in the spring. Do we flip the calendar back again and then play football again a month and a half later in the 2011-2012 calendar? What are we doing then in terms of getting us back on track? Are we going to be essentially playing 2 football seasons in the span of 5 months to get us back on calendar? So that's one of the wrinkles that I wonder about if they end up going that route. But, you know, I don't think there are any great answers, and that's one of the things that's probably the most distressing thing about this, is that, I mean, I don't think there's anything that's going to we're in a situation now where I don't think we're going to find something that appeases everyone. Everyone's going to be disappointed in some manner, whether it be because their season was shortened or, you know, God forbid, completely canceled. And my concern, at least a little bit, is, you know, I'm known as a football guy, but I would feel absolutely terrible if we switched the spring and fall, and then couldn't play a fall, and then the spring sports ended up not getting two different seasons not played because they didn't get that opportunity. So it's a many-layered thing because I think a lot of people, at least from what I'm picking up from a lot of football coaches, is they're completely okay with moving to spring if that means they get to play. I mean, if that's the only alternative that they have. But then I think about the cross effects to those other programs, you know, that won't have an opportunity to play a full season for going on 2 years if that happens. Because you can't play football in the spring or the fall sports conversely with the spring sports. It doesn't work because you've got so many small programs that rely on multi-sport athletes, and to ask them to choose or even ask them if they want to divide the time somehow just doesn't seem fair to anybody.
Yeah, and I just want to, you said 2011, 2012. I know you meant 2021. 2022.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just where my opinion is coming from about the start of fall is when you're, you know, we're July 14th and you still can't have physical contact on July 14th and not knowing, not having any idea when you're going to be able to have physical contact, that's a huge red flag for me, you know, in terms of what the chances are of a fall season when you're less than a month away and you still can't have physical contact because of this pandemic and you don't know when you're going to be able to have physical contact. That's the big question mark.
Yeah, originally for me, when I looked at this whole situation, you know, early in the spring, I was thinking to myself that this football season might resemble a lot more like football seasons, say, 20, 25 years ago, when 7-on-7s weren't as prominent. You might have a team camp during the year, but for a lot of programs, when you showed up on that date in the middle of August, you know, it was one of your first football opportunities. The off-season wasn't nearly as complex as it was that it is now, where you've got team camps and 7-on-7s, and now there's a mandated dead period because you want to make sure that kids have a little bit of time off. Well, you know, in years past, it would be, you know, maybe you have one, you know, you travel to one team camp for a week in June or July, but then when you showed up in August, that was really kind of maybe your first or you know, limited amount of football contact that you had over the course of the year. Now that's wholly different. So, it's all, you know, all these things are being thrown off a filter. I was talking the other day with Rochester coach Derek Leonard, and he was saying, you know, I know this is going to hurt everybody not having, you know, all the contact that we usually have, but, you know, we feel like it's going to hurt us a lot because we use a lot of that 7-on-7 time to experiment and work on things that we might be implementing and play around with some things, and all that stuff is gone now. So it's going to be an interesting, you know, adaptation for us to do. And I think it's going to be just an adaptation for everyone regardless, and a lot of that has to do with, like you said, just not having any of that regular contact that you're accustomed and building in the things that you do with in your program during the off season. All that stuff's going to be gone for the most part if we have any of it at all. So really just a whirlwind of adjustments for all sports and all programs right now. They're just accustomed to having a lot more ability to do a lot more things to prepare themselves for their various seasons.
Yeah, and I'm just hoping for the best. I really want a fall season more than anything, you know. And the other, and I wanted to get your opinion too on this that kind of drives me bananas. You know, when you here in the summer, you see all these, and I'm assuming up in the Joliet area, you see this as well. All these youth tournaments and these youth events that take place. I mean, and the parking lots are jam packed, crammed full of people going to these youth sports events. And then you say, well, what, we can't have IHSA interscholastic athletic events? You know, it's just amazing how the threshold for youth sports is so much different than interscholastic sports governed by the IHSA, because when you go to some of these youth sports venue, Steve Susie, you're like, well, there's not even a pandemic going on because there's all these people everywhere. I mean, that's just a mind-boggling thing about kind of following this whole story.
Yeah, I know that's been a major source of frustration for a lot of people in regards to, I mean, I feel like the structure and community of high school athletics is one largely of people that are motivated, you know, solely by just trying to do the best thing for their athletes and their programs in general, you know, and they're not trusted to monitor their situations, you know, in the best interest of their programs, while these other individuals can seemingly do almost anything that they want to do. I mean, I know I've seen workout camps going on in like city parks where there aren't any guidelines being followed. You know, there are hundreds of individuals out there taking part in these things primarily because it's their only outlet. That's a discouraging thing to see, that the rules are so different for different levels of this. I understand the IHSA's position on this, wanting to adhere to the guidelines that are being placed in front of them as best they can. But I also understand the frustration to a lot of the coaching staff that, like are basically emanating a feeling of, we're not trusted to do the jobs that we've done for years and years and years, and what we've demonstrated for years, that we're here, we're interested in being here for the best interest of our student athletes. And I sense their frustration, and I understand that as well. It's a no-win situation for anyone, because restrictions are put on for a reason, but you can't keep everyone happy in regards to what those are, because everybody wants to go, and I totally understand that. But everybody needs to be mindful of what we're dealing with here too, which is also very serious.
Yeah, and I guess the other thing is, as I follow it, I think we kind of knew in mid-March that, hey, you're not going to have the state basketball tournament, ain't happening, because we just see this pandemic getting rolling and people really not grasping the potential impact. I mean, and then you knew the dominoes with NCAA canceling, and then the NBA and NHL. You knew that the interscholastic athletics, that domino was going to fall. But the issue here, as we move along, so we go from March to April to May to June, July, and then to August, and just trying to have the patience. To me, that's the other big issue, because I think people just said, well, by all, like you said earlier, by August we're gonna be able to play. Well, we're not. That's a big question mark right now. And I think that's the big difference between, when we get to August and we compare that back to March. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, the expectations are much different now than they were back then, I think. Because people are just saying, hey, a lot of people, I'm not saying everybody, but everybody's like, back to normal. Kids need to be in the classroom. A lot of people saying kids need to be playing sports. Now, I think most people back in March said, well, we're not sure about what's at stake here. So I think they're kind of a different set of circumstances in terms of opinion. As we approach March in the calendar and trying to get kids in the classroom and get kids back playing.
Yeah, and the problem that we're running into a lot now with is, everybody, I feel like, is waiting for someone else to do something. Like you mentioned the Iowa situation before with them playing baseball and softball. Everyone's kind of in this hold mode. I'm seeing that some states have already said that they're planning on going to spring. I believe New Mexico came out the other day, said that. I saw something over the weekend. An administrator in the Texas school system was basically saying he doesn't see any way that they're going to have Friday Night Lights in Texas, which for me is like a mind-blowing concept. And so I think that we're just, like, everyone is impatiently waiting here for someone else to say, this is what we're doing, so we can play an elaborate game of follow the leader. I mean, for me, the watershed moment was when we started having some of these college football conferences say, hey, we're only playing conference games this year. I think that's the kind of the first domino to fall. And then with the Patriot League saying they're not playing fall sports this year, that was another. I mean, we're starting to see some people make some decisions. And I know we're getting to the point now where people are starting to get really impatient, because they're like, we want some answers in regards to. But it's this delicate balance between hoping that maybe we can find something that will turn this, and needing to have some sort of resolution to move forward. And that's where people are having a lot of struggles. It's where I have a personal struggle. I read that meeting was scheduled, basically roughly scheduled for, I believe, July 29th for the IHSA to make some decisions on how they're going to approach the fall sports season. And my initial reaction to that date was, I got to wait until July 29th. That was my initial reaction to it, but I can understand why they also want to push that back as far as they can to get as much data as they can to try to get a more complete, as much of a complete picture as they can before making these really, really big decisions. And I mean, that's what I think they need to do in some respects, because I'm pessimistic that we're going to have all sports in, I guess, almost any form. But if we are, I think we got to come up with the best modified plan to get this done, because, I mean, there are a lot of options, and I'm almost in the process now of sitting down and trying to think about what could be done. I mean, I thought about, hey, what if we play a six-week regular season? What would it look like? What if we qualify less teams to the playoffs when we do it to make sure that we shorten this down as much as possible? What do these things look like? And I'm in the process of starting to try to figure some of those things out. But I think what people have to get a grip on is, I don't think we're going to, whatever we do, I don't think we're going to be able to do what we always do. Yeah. And that's, we have to be open to multiple possibilities. Like, you might end up playing a regional football schedule this year. There might not be state champions crowned. That might be what you have to deal with if this continues to play out in the way that it plays. You might have to just settle for local bragging rights among schools in your area, because that might be the best we can do. I mean, nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to think about the fact that we might have to go through a season in multiple sports without a state champion crown, similar to what we had in the past season. But I mean, we might have to modify this thing. It might just be a couple games. I mean, that might be the reality of the situation. I don't know, but we got to be open to a lot of creative possibilities.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we're going to have anything near what resembles normal for what we're used to.
Yeah, and I think that's, I mean, until there's a vaccine, I just think long range, I'm concerned even long range now. I don't even like to look to the calendar, because until there's a vaccine, and I was going to kind of change directions a little bit here. The one concern I have too, for people that cover high school sports, I just really worry about how much longer we can go on with not having new content to cover, because we've traveled through the spring sports season and the end of the high school basketball season all spring, and now you're potentially looking at a fall where, man, if there's not a fall sports season, what is going to happen to local newspapers, local media that cover high school sports? What is the future for? How concerned are you about that?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I've done hypothetical projects all summer. I did that thing in the middle of the summer where I ranked all the football conferences from 1 to 73 or what it was. I mean, those are all well and good for a while, but I mean, for, like you said, without new content and without the ability to do the things that we're accustomed to doing, it's going to leave a void there for not only people who work in the media, but just for people in communities that are just used to having these outlets that it's a part of your daily life. I mean, and that's just something that, like, I worry about so many levels of this thing the longer it goes. I mean, I worry about the student athlete who is using the opportunity to compete in athletics for a motivation to keep them focused on their schoolwork. And I worry about that stuff. I worry about the people that use athletics in their community as a lifeline to their community. I just worry about so many things about this. And from a personal perspective, certainly, I'm completely concerned about about you know, what I'm going to do over the next, you know, calendar year if this continues to be the situation that we're under. You know, it's obviously, you mentioned before we started this, I've been at this a long time. And it's the routines and patterns are things that I've come to enjoy and love. And I you know, it seems selfish to talk about it in that respect, so I don't really like to talk about it a lot. But, you know, yeah, I've dealt with being pretty disappointed and in some cases depressed about, like, not having these things that I'm so used to having. And I can take that, you know, only from a small perspective for my own well-being. I feel just terrible for these kids that, like, that, you know, that are working so hard in all these sports and potentially not having the opportunity to have the opportunity to shine on the athletic fields and any of their activities. I mean, I have a high school age daughter who doesn't have much interest in sports, but she's big into drama and the arts. And those opportunities are obviously not available right now either. So there's just so many things about it that are so discouraging that I try to keep an upbeat mentality, just because that's what the way I try to be, if I can be. But boy, when you really let yourself get down in the swirls of it, it can be pretty depressing to think about all the you know, things that not only are affecting me professionally but just personally. To everyone, it's a really unfortunate thing, and unfortunately, sometimes you feel powerless because there's so little that you can do about it yourself.
Yeah, and it's crazy because, you know, we're now going on 4 months of this. I mean, that's the thing, and I just think for myself, you talk about personally, you know, the last time you covered something. You know, it feels like an eternity because, you know, we're so accustomed, and I can't even imagine from a student athlete standpoint now, where kids are so accustomed in today's society of doing so much, and then bam, there's nothing from mid-March to now. I mean, and I'm glad they're at least able to get back and do the strength and conditioning and speed stuff, because I mean, just not having nothing for that long period. Man, that's just tough to really follow that. And just the change of pace for those kids of being so accustomed to doing so much, and then, bam, like I said, stuff just comes to a screeching halt.
Yeah, it was a flip of the light switch. I mean, the last event I covered was a sectional basketball game between Joliet West and Neuqua Valley. And it's funny because I'm kind of socially isolate myself to begin with, and that's the way I am. I'm not antisocial by nature, but I like to go sit in the upper rafters of basketball gyms and kind of watch it from a overview perspective. And the gym was fairly full that night, but where I tend to go is about the only place in the gym that night where I could go and sit and kind of be by myself. And I'm like, I accidentally socially isolated myself that night, but I didn't really realize that at the time that was going to be the last time that I was going to see, you know, high school sports athletic competition for as long as it's been. I would have savored it more if I would have realized that. My goodness, it's just like, it was a Tuesday night. The next night was the other sectional semifinal. I fully expected to be back in the gym that next night. That wasn't the case. I was just like, okay, that didn't happen. I mean, maybe we'll get this back on track in a couple weeks. That didn't happen. So it just became this whole thing where I was like, boy, I really should have embraced that game that I was watching a little bit more than I did at the time, instead of stressing about making my deadline that night, because I didn't realize it was going to be the last time that I was going to see some athletic competition for a really long time. I feel bad that I didn't savor that a little bit more.
Yeah. All right. Well, I provided you some therapy today, then, maybe. So I appreciate
that. Exactly.
I appreciate the visit, Steve Soucy. Does great work at the Joliet Herald News. Again, 30 years in the newspaper business, and let's hope and pray and root for some mojo or whatever that we're able to do some stuff effective August the 10th. Steve Soucy, thanks for the help today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim. We'll talk to you soon.
You're listening to WRMJ.